apostle, see, that's the worst part, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. So we said, this would be Jesus' closing instruction, right? Right? Within the 40 days, the summary of Jesus' closing instruction. And, you know, we say that that instruction is to raise disciples, right? To raise disciples, and the entry into discipleship will be believing when the gospel is preached, right? Hallelujah. And we said this will be God's desire, right? God's desire. Remember the emphasis when the instruction was given in the world, right? Going to all the world, going to all the nations, right? Hallelujah. Acts 1 verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this will be God's desire from the Genesis. We saw that, right? From the Genesis. God's desire, God's plan from the Genesis. And this desire will be carried out through this man. God's desire, God's plan will be carried out through this man, the new creation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Matthew 28 verse 20, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth, of the world rather. Now, Jesus began to tell us what is the primary activity of believers, right? Primary activities of believers when they gather will be teaching. Teaching. And we said that is what the church should be, right? The church should be a Bible school where we are taught the word primarily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that teaching will be concerning the resurrection. That all that I have commanded you, and lo, we say that word, lo, I have with you always, is a fact of the resurrection, right? It's a fact of the resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we began looking at Jesus' teaching about his resurrection from the synoptics, right? We began looking at that. We got back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Hallelujah. Who do men say that I am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I'll give unto thee keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now we say the word kingdom of heaven is not different from the word kingdom of God. They have to say one and the same thing. Hallelujah. We said that yesterday. Hallelujah. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, remember we said Jesus' teaching will be coming from where? The 39 books, right? Which is Genesis down to Malachi. Jesus will teach from Genesis down to Malachi. You see that, hallelujah, Luke 24 verse 25. Luke 24, 25. He saw two of his disciples on the way to Emmaus, Cleopas and his friend. And what did he say to them? He said, He asked them, you know, they had a conversation. And Jesus said to them, verse 25, he said, "All fools and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." He said, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" You see? And beginning as Moses. You see that? Beginning as Moses and all the prophets. When it says beginning as Moses, it means from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So Jesus will start off his teaching from the Genesis. Hallelujah. He will start from Genesis and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So that means in the days of Jesus, Genesis down to Malachi is scripture. Amen. Amen. It's scripture. Glory to God. Concerning himself. Look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. It says, "And he said to them, these are the words which I speak to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophet, and it is concerning me." So it shows you that Jesus' teaching within the synoptic is from where? The 39 books, Genesis down to Malachi. What do I call it? Jesus' teaching will be from the Old Testament books. What we call the Old Testament books today. Hallelujah. Genesis down to Malachi. All his teachings are from there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, how would Jesus teach the Old Testament book? How would he teach Genesis down to Malachi? He would teach it that concerning himself. Hallelujah. He would teach it that concerning. Why? Because scriptures will conclude on him. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me? Because scriptures will conclude on him. John, okay, before we get to John, Matthew 7, verse 29. Okay, first of all to John 5. John 5:39. Are you there? Are you John 5? Come on, let's do this together. Verse 39. He says, "Search ye the scriptures." Okay. Speaking to the Pharisees, "Search the scriptures." He says, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So, what is scripture? Genesis to Malachi. It says, "Search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life." So, that means, he said, "But these are they that testify of me." So what did he say? The scriptures, when read together, will conclude on Christ. Testify of him. Verse 43. He says, verse 45. "Do not think I have come to accuse you before the Father. There is no one who accuses him. Moses in whom you trust." He said, "For if ye had believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote concerning me." He wrote of me. Hallelujah. "But if ye believe not his word, how could you believe my word?" So that means, if you read Moses' writings together, you will discover that it concludes on Christ. Hallelujah. On the Christ. Now, you will not find Christ written emphatically. No, it will be the conclusion of what the words are about. Hallelujah. So, the word Christ is the interpretation of scriptures. Glory to God. I remember saying this to us, the one I said, if your theology doesn't conclude on Christology, then you don't have, except this one of our teachers, then what you have is zoology. Zoology. You're studying nothing. Hallelujah. You're studying nothing. Glory to God. Not zoology, zoology. Zero. Because scripture will conclude on Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 17 to nothing. Jesus was not teaching from Matthew 5 into chapter 7. Now look at verse 29. The Bible says, Psalm 68, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended his say, if the people were astonished at his doctrine, at his didache, his moral teaching." 29. "He taught as one having authority, not as the scribes." Now when the scripture says taught as one having authority, that means it implies he taught as one having the authority of scriptures. Whom scriptures conclude upon. Hallelujah. That is how he talks. He talks as the one that scripture concludes on. He talks as the one that has the authority of scripture, because he is the authority of scripture. John 1:1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." He says, "Sin was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, without him was anything made by his name." Now he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So what does that mean? That means the summary of what they said concludes on the king. Hallelujah. So he's both the Lord of the scriptures and the authority of the scriptures. Jesus is both the Lord of the scriptures and the authority of the scriptures. Therefore, I must watch how we use his words, because the words are his words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, for No, no, no. I must watch how he uses words. Because they are his words. His uses of words will be the same with how Moses and the prophet will use words. Because the prophet and Moses will borrow his mother ahead of time. We'll look at this in some kingdom's stories. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means I must pay careful attention to how Jesus uses his words. I must pay careful attention to how Jesus uses his words. And that will be my own narrative of words. Okay, I want to be, and if you look closely, it will be the same way Moses will use words. Amen? For example, the use of the word rich. Rich. You know, if you look today and say, ah, this guy is rich, you're talking about money, right? Money. Eko, kudi. Glory to God. Yeah, but you know, Jesus, usage of rich, you have to say. You have to know what is the definition of rich. You know, in scriptures, Jesus doesn't consider Solomon as the richest man. With scriptures. Hallelujah. If you get to Luke 12, Jesus makes a distinction here for us to see. Luke 12. 1 verse 16. Get quickly to Luke 12. Let's get to verse 16. Are you there? You see? And he spoke. Okay. And he spoke to them. And he spoke to them, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my food. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barn and build greater, and there I will bestow all my food and goods. This guy is rich. Hallelujah. He's rich. And how did he get rich? He got rich the way everybody should get rich. Hallelujah. Do a good job. Hallelujah. Do a good job. Do business. Make money. Go to God. Amen.
Amen.
He did business. So he was rich. And I will say to my soul, now this is where he got it from. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat and drink and marry. But God said to him, that. Hallelujah. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then those. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Jesus? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't say the guy is not rich. Take note of what Jesus didn't say. The guy was rich. Right? Right? But he said he's not rich towards God. Hallelujah. So he uses the word rich towards God. Hallelujah. That means you can have one, you can have someone who is not rich towards God. Paul put it this way, that man is rich in the world. Paul put it like that, the man is rich in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Look at what Paul says. He says, charge them which are rich in this world. You see that? Hallelujah. Word of God. So he's not saying being rich is wrong. Hallelujah. So you get rich by doing what people do to get rich. Hallelujah. You get to do a business. Amen. Do a business. A legit business. Good business. Hallelujah. Not Santos. Do a legit business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something like it. Don't sell your hand. It's not Santos. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are with me. Amen. Amen. Like this, I taught you that for you to know you have to do good business. Amen. Do it, do good business. But you know, so there's nothing wrong with being rich in the world. What, right? But you have to be rich towards God. So what does it mean, rich towards God? Where God comes in is what you do with the money. What you do with it. Right? It's what you do with your riches. Hallelujah. That is where God comes in. Hallelujah. So this man is rich in the world, but he's not rich towards God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've heard someone say, this guy is rich, he used to give charity. See, being a philanthropist is not being a philanthropist is different from being rich towards God. Is it wrong to be a philanthropist? No. It's good for you to be a philanthropist. Right? Right? But that doesn't mean you reach towards God. People should learn to sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people who are not born again who are better philanthropists. I could name them for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They fund projects, they fund, they feed orphanages. Hallelujah. But it's not reached towards God. Hallelujah. Very important. Amen. Jesus will say in Matthew 6:20, he said, lay up treasures in heaven. So you read Matthew 6:20, he said, lay up treasures in heaven. Say, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. And where thieves do not break you to steal. For where your treasure is, where your heart be also. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it tells you, talks about treasures both in heaven and in the earth, right? Right? They are treasures in heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus' rich is God's rich. Did you see that? His treasure is God's treasure. So that is it. That's how Jesus is his treasure. The same way Jesus will use bread. You have to watch on how did Jesus use bread. Jesus didn't use bread for food. That is, he used bread for money or for your daily job. Amen. I used to remember years back. My mom would tell me, it's good to look for daily bread. You know, daily bread. Go look for job. Amen. Say, a man provides, must always look for daily bread. I don't know who taught him that. Hallelujah. A man should always look for daily bread. So daily bread is job. But that is not what Jesus meant when he said, give us this day our daily bread. Look at it. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6. Follow me there, Pastor. Matthew 6. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 11. Our daily bread. And forgive our debt, even as we forgive our debtors. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. Daily bread. Now, when he uses the word daily bread, Jesus is reading from Proverbs 30 verse 8. Proverbs 30 verse 8. Look at it. He's believing reading from Proverbs 38. What is it? Are you there? He said, remove us from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, sufficient for me, with food sufficient for me. That is the word sufficient food. Hallelujah. So when Jesus uses the word daily bread, that word daily is the word epis. Forgive me, E-P-I-S, O-U-S-I-O-U-S. Hallelujah. That word daily is what is used for, to give what will last tomorrow, or say, give me tomorrow's bread today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It speaks of eternal life. Eternal life. It speaks of eternal life. Give me tomorrow's bread today. So Jesus' use of bread will be for eternal life. Look at John 6. John 6. Verses 48. Quickly. John 6, 48. Are you okay? He said, I am the bread of life. Did you see that? I am the bread of life. He says in verse 48 and in verse 49, your father ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He said, I am the bread of life. When he said your father ate manna in the wilderness, he brings him Moses' bread. Hallelujah. Did you see that? He brings him Moses' bread. Now, why did he bring Moses' bread? Because Moses' bread points to his bread. So when he says, your father ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead, is to show them that what Moses gave to them in the wilderness was a pointer. Okay? we are following it, was a pointer. What Moses gave to them in the wilderness was a pointer, was used figuratively to point to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So what Moses gave to them was not the real bread. What Moses gave to them was a figure to point to Jesus' bread. The bread in the redemption. The bread in the redemption, which was the eternal life. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Moses will use that bread to show them the bread in redemption, eternal life. That is why he told them to take it now. Look at what Moses told them to do when they took the bread. He told them to take it daily. He told them not to store it up for another day. Why will Moses tell them that? It's to point them to the sufficient bread. Hallelujah. It's sufficient for the day. It's sufficient. Hallelujah. In salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's sufficient. So when he said in verse 49, he said, your father ate meat with manna in the wilderness and they are dead. But this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man will eat thereof and not die. When he uses the word and not die, it means it will be eternal life. Hallelujah. It will be eternal life. Look at verse 51. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. This is the bread that I will give, is my flesh, and which I give for the life of the world. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Look at verse 54. So whosoever eateth my flesh and eateth my blood and drinketh my blood rather, have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. You see that? I'll raise him up at the last day. Glory to God. Glory to God. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. You see that? So Jesus has moved again to show you when he says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwells in me and I in him. Hallelujah. When he talks about that, he's referring to the indwelling. Hallelujah. Dwelleth in me and I in. You have to go back to John chapter 14 to see that again. Hallelujah. That would be the indwelling. Hallelujah. The union of the believer in Christ. So when he speaks like that, shows you that life and spirit is used interchangeably. Hallelujah. He that eats my bread have life, right? Have and is abiding in me. That is the indwelling. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. The same thing too with how Jesus will use blood. How Jesus will use blood. We've just seen now that blood will be used for the spirit, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Blood is used for the spirit. The blood of Jesus is not used for things. No, it's for the spirit, which is eternal life, right? Hallelujah. And yesterday we saw it yesterday that the blood is for the remission of sins. Did you see that yesterday? Did you see that yesterday? Hallelujah. They said it's for the remission of sins. Glory to God. That would be the same way Moses will use blood also. Remember, Moses will use blood as a figure. Glory to God. We use blood as a figure. Now, how will he use that figure? He will give them a sacrifice to do, right? And the sacrifice was to portray Jesus' death and resurrection. So they would kill the lamb to show that the Lamb of God would die, right? Right? They would kill the lamb. Now, how will Moses now show that there will be a resurrection? Now, because the lamb is dead, there's no way you can make them see that the lamb is alive. So, what shows life? Blood. So they would take the blood to show that the lamb is alive. Hallelujah. You're the Lord. So where would the blood be sprinkled? The blood will be sprinkled in the temple. So what is the temple of God? The heart of man. Okay, I'm following that. You're the Lord. So Moses will symbolize it with that. So where would the spirit of God be found? In the temple. That is the heart of man. You're the Lord. So Moses is also righteous. So Moses' use of blood will be how Jesus will use blood for the resurrection, the indwelling, eternal life. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So let's get back to Matthew 16:20 where we were before. Now it says in verse 20, it says, Matthew 16:20, let's go back there. It says, that's 20:19. He says, and I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, right? So when we say, when he's using the word keys is used for authority. Now he said, the authority of the kingdom of heaven, right? Right? And we said, the kingdom of heaven is the Spirit of God. Was that what we said? Right? The kingdom of God is the Spirit of God. So we can say the authority is the authority of God's Spirit. Right? Hallelujah. Which is the indwelling. The authority of God's Spirit, which is the indwelling. And yesterday we began to look at what the authority is used for. Right? We say it's for binding and loosing. Was that what we said? And we saw what binding and loosing is. Right? What is binding and loosing? The gospel. Preaching the gospel. Right? Hallelujah. Binding and loosing is for the preaching of the gospel. Let's get back to Mark 16, where we have that instruction. Mark 16, 15. They go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. Now, the word gospel is the word euangelion. Euangelion. The compound of ua and angelo, or we have the word. Yeah, ua and angelo. Let me leave for that. Now, Oah means good, angelo is one angel or a messenger. So the word gospel implies the announcement of a good news or a good messenger. Right? Good news or a good messenger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or the news of a good messenger. Hallelujah. So remember, yesterday I taught us and I said, the use of war would have its background there between Genesis to where? Malachi. Right? So when we use bread, did we see the root, did we see the background in Moses? Did we see the background in Moses? Moses will use it figuratively, right? For sufficient bread, right? The use of the word blood, we'll find it also the background in Moses. It will be used for the resurrection, right? Right? Hallelujah. So let's get back to this. So we do have this background in the 39 book, the word gospel. Now that word gospel is the word basar. 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 Basar deals with the news of a kingdom. The news of a kingdom. Hallelujah. Basar. The news of a kingdom. Is used for the rise and the fall of a kingdom. The rise and the fall of a kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is both a good news and a not so good news. Okay, let me put it like this. I've talked to you before. It is both used for a good news and a bad news. Hallelujah. You find it used in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Chapter 4, verse 17. Are you there? 1 Samuel 4, 17 says, and the messengers answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people, and their two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. You see that? That was the news, and there was bad news, the news of a defeat. Hallelujah. And it's called Basar. Okay, I'm saying that. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 9, it's used for the news of a victory. A victory. Hallelujah. Oh, sorry. I take back that. It's used for the death of Saul, rather. Death of Saul. 2 Samuel 1:20. Saul again. Look at 2 Samuel 1:20. It says, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the street of Ascalon. Leave the daughters of the Philistines that rejoice. Say, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Say, ye mountain of Gibeah, let there be no dew, nor let there be rain upon you, nor the field of offspring. For there the shield of the mighty is very cast away. The shield of Saul, and though you have not been anointed at all. Hallelujah. So that was the news. When I say publish it not, that is the news of Saul's death. The news of Basar. News of Saul's death. In 2 Samuel 4, 2 Samuel 4:10. It says, and one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead. Think he has brought me good tidings. Did you see that? He thought he has brought good tidings. I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag. Who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings? Did you see that? The bad news of Saul's death. Glory to God. So the word basar, we also find it also in 2 Samuel 18:19, 18:31, 18:21. So the word basar is a kingdom news, a news of a win or a loss in a conflict. So it's a kingdom news. Did you see that? It's a kingdom news. So when you say the gospel is the news of the kingdom. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So remember I was saying there's both the good news and the bad news, right? So the reason why in the synoptic and in the epistles it is called good news. Right? The reason why it's called good news. Remember the news is either good or bad, right? But it is called good news because it is the news of God's victory. Hallelujah. The victory of God's kingdom over darkness. Colossians 1:10. Hallelujah. It's the news of the victory of God's kingdom, of God's victory over darkness. Good over evil. We saw that on Monday, right? Good over evil. The revelation is good over evil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what I want you to see when you hear the word good news, you are genuine, is the background. What do you have in the background of you are genuine? You have a warfare. Hope you are saying that. There is a warfare. There is a warfare. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it implies I will have to go back again and reread all the warfare of the Israelites. I read it correctly because it will be a warfare that points to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you will not use warfare as a physical combat. No. They will find it in the Old Testament book, but it will be a pointer. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. It will be used as figure. Amen. Just even Jesus, right now, Jesus will even use sword. You understand? He will not use sword the way other men will use sword. Just as simple as that. Hallelujah. So I say, you have to go back and read it. Hallelujah. And when I go back to read it, I will see that all the while they had a fight was a fight for over land, to get to the land. They fought to get to the land. Watch it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need to see that. They fought to get to the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when they were in the land, they kept fighting. Hope you are saying that. It will come out shortly for us. So that means the way I will read fights today will be different from how the world will read fights. Right? Hallelujah. It will be different from how the world will read fights. I will read it with the eyes of the epistles. Glory to God. I will read it with the eyes of the epistles. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's watch the 1 Corinthians 10. I will see it with the eyes of the epistles. I will see it in the light of the gospel, because it will be in the light of the gospel. That's it, 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, verse 4. It says, for though we walk, in the flesh, we will not walk after the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts himself above the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought to the captivity, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Say, do you not look in things After the outward appearance, if any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. Hallelujah. So he says, the weapon of our warfare. So Paul makes us see that we have, that there is a warfare. Hallelujah. And when you read down in that chapter, read down, you will discover that he's talking about it in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. You read this quickly, talking about the preaching of the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 6, we'll see that again. Ephesians 6, we'll get there shortly. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, quickly. Come on, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, please. Are you in Ephesians 6, verse 10? So, remember, I said when you hear the word authority, it shows that there's power. Hallelujah. Let me show you that. I hope you're following me. Right? Authority is a legal, permit me to put it this way, is a legal. It's an act, it's a legal. Legal right to act on power. Yeah, I remember that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you have authority, that means there is power. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Because that indwelling is power. Romans, Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now when I say you receive power, that is what lambano. Hallelujah. Lambano means to take of what you have already. So that means there's power already inside. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Look at the Ephesians 6:10. Say, finally, my brethren, be strong. That is that word strong. I said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see that? Hear your God? It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Now, when it says in the power of His might, He expects you to have read Ephesians 1:19. You'll see where this power is. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us? What? Who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Which He wrought in Christ and raised Him up from the dead and set Him at the right hand of in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Far above principalities and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 3. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. Yes. I'm not supposed to go there. Hallelujah. Now, come on, let's go back. And I said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11. I said, put on the whole armor of God. Let's put this together. That ye may be able to stand against the forces of the devil. So, Paul is making you see that the believer, there is a warfare. Hallelujah. There is a warfare. They will wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the love of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when he uses the word high places, it tells you about the heart of man. Hallelujah. The heart of man. Beautiful. Because when you hear spiritual wickedness in high places, you expect to have seen that in Ephesians 2, verse 2, right? And it's referring to the heart of man. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So wherefore, let us read, wherefore take on the book of God that you may be able to withstand it. No, not to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about word of truth, and about the blessed of righteousness, and official with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So that means, okay, we're not about what taking the shield of faith that we'll be able to quench out the fire in that sort of weekend, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always in love, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching well to with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. So Paul makes us see that there is a warfare, and he refers to, or he puts that in the preaching of the gospel also. Hallelujah. Therefore, there is a fight that we must fight. Hallelujah. And this fight is in the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God. Maybe I showed us something. Though, I have this in my notes. Say, though in this fight, we already have the victory. We already know the outcome. We already have the victory. Yet, we ought to fight. With that, yet we ought to fight. What is the fight? The fight is not a fight with the devil. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How will put it like this in Galatians 4:19? Watch Galatians 4:19. Okay. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in bed again, until Christ be formed in you. Now that word travail is the word odino in the Greek. Odino. It is used for how one experiences pain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here Paul makes us see that the process of getting one saved comes with a pain. Right? A pain. Like a fight. And it also shows that it also will be found also in spiritual groups. This is that a pain, a fight. This is that, so there's a pain, there's a fight. To get them saved, and to get them spiritual. Hallelujah. So therefore, in Ephesians 6:12, I will read the undertone of a fight, a warfare. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A warfare. In the preaching of the gospel and the total believer's well-being. Go to God. Hallelujah. I have something else. The process of getting someone born again is not a fair weather speech. Not because it's not by having good oracle. No, it's the power of God. Hallelujah. You know, why would you say that? Look at the man who is not born again. I showed us on Friday, right? I showed us the man who is not born again is under the dominion of the devil. The man who is not born again is in darkness. Hallelujah. Remember, the man who is not born again is in darkness. It's not safe. It's under the kingdom of the devil. So therefore, we have to fight. Hallelujah. We have to fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that fight is the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, this fight is not an aimless fight. As I said earlier, we've gotten the victory already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah.
So, what is this fight for? What is it for? It's for the heart of man. For the growth of man. So, Paul showed us. Right? Little children who can travel in bed for. Right? Right? Remember 2 Corinthians 4:4? The God of this world has blinded their mind. So, it's for the heart of man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The heart of men. That is what Paul will call in Ephesians 6:4. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places will be found where? In the heart of men. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Spiritual wickedness in high places will also be found, will be also be seen as the belief system of men. The belief system, the world conduct. Hallelujah. So that's why I said that fight is both spiritual groups, for spiritual groups, and also for, for the new birth, right? Hallelujah. The believer's total well-being. The world's system. The world's way of doing things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the believer is a constant fight. Glory to God. We'll get to look at this after CLC. Glory to God. The believer is in a constant fight. Amen.
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 Glory to God. So, how do I fight? How do I fight? Look at that Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. In other words, remember the believer has power already. Hallelujah. The believer has power already. The believer has power already. Hallelujah. That power is at work in us. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. We have power already. Now. Paul doesn't tell us how to exercise it. It is by praying always. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always. Praying always with all prayer. So that means prayer is a means through which we exercise our believer's authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We said yesterday we exercised by preaching, right? Right? But also we exercised in what? In the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because in the preaching of the gospel you will have to pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, prayer doesn't make power come. No. The believer already has power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We already have power. Rather, power is available when we pray. Glory to God. Prayer makes power available. Prayer makes power available. It makes it effective. It makes it effective. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. And this is the believer's responsibility. I know what I was listening to our Pastor Shepherd this morning. He said something. I thought to just say to us. He said something about the fact that the believer has made the walk in Christianity. Hallelujah. It's a walk in Christianity. The walk in Christianity. And prayer is our walk in Christianity. Glory to God. Prayer is. Glory to God. It's a walk. If you look at the book of Ephesians critically, Ephesians 1 into 3, it makes us see we are seated, right? We are seated in Christ. But from chapter 4, you begin to hear walk, right? Walk. Walk. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:1. It says, "Ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye have been called." Ephesians 5:2. It says, "And walk in love." This is that the believers walk in Christianity. The believers walk. In chapter 6, it says, "Stand in the glory of God." Hallelujah. So that means this is our responsibility. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Chapter 1 to 3, remember? Faith in Christ, right? And our walk, our believers walk. And one of it is what? Praying. Praying always. Praying always. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. When we pray, we make power available. Glory to God. We make power available. We make power available. Look at the book of Acts. Peter will say in Acts, we give ourselves continually to the ministry of the word and prayer. So prayer wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't have prayed. Why did Jesus pray? Jesus prayed because of redemption, right? Why did he come? That all men should be saved. He came for the salvation of men and he prayed. He prayed the way he did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He showed us a pattern. A pattern. Glory to God. Of our Christian walk prayer. When Jesus resurrected in the book of Acts, we found the apostles, they were praying. Acts 14, when they were gathered together, Acts 1, when they were gathered together, they were praying. So prayer is important in the believer's walk. For it to make giant strides in the preaching of the gospel, to get men saved. It's not by good speeches. No. No, hallelujah. Glory to God. You arrest the mind. I mean to say it this way. You arrest the minds of men, the hearts of men in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Evangelism becomes effective when men pray. When men pray. You want to see the whole nations, glory of God in all the earth, you must be a man of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the leader of the fellowship will say something to us. He said, this year 2022, we must be given to prayer. Hallelujah. Giving to prayer. Glory to God. Why it's exciting and believers of God. When we pray, we are exercising and believers of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The believers were giving them, they were giving to prayer. Acts 2. They were praying. Acts 3. Peter and John were on their way to the church with the hour of prayer. Very well. Acts 4. When they were churches, they gathered and prayed. Hope you're following. So the life of the believer is a constant, consistent life of prayer. You must make prayer consistent. Prayer is not just an addition. Prayer is the life of the believer. Hope you are hearing me. Prayer is the life of the believer. By giving to prayer. Don't get lazy about it. Give it to prayer. Hallelujah. So when should we pray? When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, you pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. You don't only pray when you feel like praying. No, you pray all the time. Glory to God. We don't walk by our feelings. We don't walk by sense and perceptions. Hallelujah. We'll pray all the time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I'm sitting and I'm complaining about your cell member, have you prayed about your cell member? Have you prayed about it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We spend more time praying. Hallelujah. You give bet. You bet men in the place of prayer. You bet nations in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. You bet nations in the place of prayer. When you don't pray, go to the minister. They will listen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you are hearing me. Hallelujah. You cannot run ministry without prayer. You can't run it without prayer. You can't. Hallelujah. The believer is the man on the mission. How do you hear me? The believer is a man on a mission. The believer is a missionary. The believer is sent on a mission. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 verse 11, it says, again, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, say, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So the believer is set in ministry. Hallelujah. He's set in for the work. And you can't do the work without prayer. He's a praying always. Praying always. Not sometimes. Not when you feel like it. Not during prayer retreat. No. Pray always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not when I feel like praying. Pray always. Pray always. You pray for lives. You pray for people. Hallelujah. Never a time. You will watch all Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer was never for money. Was never for things. No. For them. Was for men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus' prayer was for men. 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 Really? Was for men. Never a time was Jesus praying for anything. Today some people have started. Some people have bastardized prayer. When they don't pray, oh God, my money, oh God, my this. No! Prayer is for men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it wrong to pray for things I don't say it's wrong? But we have an example in scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hearts of men are open to the word. Hallelujah. The hearts of the nations are open to the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A man that is really a man on a mission. A man who is serious for the gospel is a man that is given to prayer. You will see him when we give it to prayer. Because God will trust the man that prays than the man that thinks he knows the word. And doesn't pray. I didn't say the man that knows the word, that thinks he knows the word. Because you can't say you know the word and not give it. So prayer! Hallelujah! Prayer is doing the word. Are you hearing me? Prayer is doing the word. Hallelujah! You are praying, you are doing the word. Hallelujah! Glory to God, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Let's go now, we're going to pray.
Amen.
Remember when we pray, we exercise our believers' authority. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Let's go now.
Hallelujah. We're going to pray.
Oh, glory to God.
Oh, glory to God. We're going to pray.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray to God. Let's pray. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Am I giving you Jesus? So he got a rakas in my life. So be a rakas in Antonia. Loka, Abra, Karalim.